with me, Lord. Walk with me while I'm on this tedious journey. I want Jesus to walk with me. Be my friend, Lord. Walk with me. Be my friend, Lord, walk with me while I'm on this tedious journey. I want Jesus to walk with me. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I greet you all. In the name of him who said in Matthew 28 and 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. What a friend. George, you hit it right on the head. What a friend we have in Jesus. Millie, you've learned what a friend you've had in Jesus this last trial and tribulation you're going through. You and Jesus don't got so close. Amen? See, you don't really find out who your friends are when everything is going all right.
Amen to that.
I was in this lady's house yesterday, and she was playing some Teddy Pendergrass. I don't know if y'all like Teddy Pendergrass. I like Teddy Pendergrass. Like me some TP. And he's got a song that says, "The whole town's laughing at me." Yeah. And he's got another song say, "Where are all my friends?" And in that song he say, "When I had lots of money to spend on everybody, I always had friends. Now that I'm broke, where they at?" The reason I'm sharing this with you is this guy right here, I have to watch him. And even though I watch him, he still get me every time. Because the last 5 years, I've been thinking about something. And I want to share it with you today. I've been thinking about this for 5 years. I used to always get up and say, "I'm Baptist born and I'm Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be a Baptist dead." Oh, I meant that. In that life, in that baggage, when I was hired by the Southern Baptist Convention, I felt I had arrived. Oh, yeah. When they put my resume on 100 churches inside of 285 in Atlanta, and all these churches were big million-dollar churches, and one I remember looking at, it was so big the utility bill was $10,000 a month. And my first wife got spooked. It overwhelmed her. The people coming to our house and basically just said, "Mike, what you need?" The convention sending people in saying, "Mike, we want you in Atlanta. We're gonna bill you the house you want. You can come stay. You pick a house. We'll pay for it." And whatnot. That was the lion roaring. See, a lot of times, you think that the problem are when things aren't going right. Do you believe that everything going good is sometimes a bigger problem than everything going right? And I've had to think about this. And Father Don, here's where I'm going with this. I'm going to get right to the quick. See, you have an agenda, and God has an agenda. Huh?
Yes, that's
right. No one was walking with Jesus as closely, I'm talking about us in this age, as Peter was. James and John were right there amongst the 12 too. He picked these fellas out. But they got their own agenda. They do. They said, "Master, let me ask you something." "Well, go ahead, son." This is the Mitchell version of it. "And we've been thinking, when you pastor the congregation, believe it or not, when folks tell you they've been thinking, sometimes what goes through your mind is, I'll never forget, this mother came to me one day and she said, "Reverend?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I've been thinking," and I didn't have enough sense then to go, "Uh-oh." And she said, "You ought to do it this way and you ought to do this and that and this and that and that and this and this and this and that." And she had been to all of these schools and got educated. I had a lot of members that were going to this seminary, and they were just always coming and telling me what they've been thinking. And my youngest deacon was 78 or 74, and he was more than twice my age, and he was always telling me that I've been a deacon before you was born. And I said, before I knew it one day, I said, "And God still ain't called you to be the pastor. He called me." Yeah. So when mother was telling me that, I had to think about it. And when she got done telling me all she's thinking, I said, "Well, mother, if I only knew what you knew, I would think what you think." Now, the reason I'm sharing that with you is because a lot of us have ideas going in our head. And the biggest problem in our lives is not all of these things that you think are your problems. The biggest problem in your life is what mother just said. You busy doing instead of being. You keep seeing yourself as baggage, like Millie said, when you really luggage. Your biggest issue ain't all these other folks. Your biggest problem is you. And I say that is way a confession. Because I can promise you that the biggest problem in my life, even right now, is me. God trying to convince me of something. He's using this man to prophesy words to me over and over again. Father Donna tell you, God had to tell him, "Michael don't know who he is." Am I lying? Hello. A lot of our problems is God has made you, for lack of a better word, made you a screwdriver, but you're a bit screwdriver, but you're thinking you're a hammer. And because you've been kind of good at knocking some nails in, you're wondering why you got a headache, because you're being used wrong. Sometimes our thoughts ain't what they ought to be. Sometimes our thoughts just prove we're not thinking. So when I went through my divorce, I'm tying this together now, and I had to step down, you know, I had just got the phone number for the next president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm getting ready to have me a TV ministry. You know, I had a radio ministry. I think I was reaching about 50,000 people at that point every Sunday. I had a bigger Sunday school than I had a congregation, And all these things are happening. And when I got smacked down. Now, I had a conversation this week with a fella. You know, I installed this U-verse in houses. And part of what we do is we troubleshoot. Like if I go to your house and your television ain't working, then I'll go there and I troubleshoot it. And then when I troubleshoot, I think I don't figure out what the problem is. So I replace this, and I hit the button, and it don't work. Now, let me explain why I'm sharing this with you. Because I was telling him, I said, you know, I've been fixing stuff since 1977, and they keep trying to make me a supervisor. And what AT&T doesn't get is the reason I don't want to be a supervisor is because they hire the wrong kind of person. See, they hire arrogant people that think they know everything. I don't need those kind of people working for me. What I need is a humble person. See, your greatest weapon against the devil and the greatest thing to fix any problem is humility. The ability to look at a situation that you came to a wrong conclusion about and being humble enough to rethink it again so that you can get this situation fixed. The arrogance of always thinking you're right will keep you from doing the right thing, from being able to move in the right direction. It will limit you. There's no one that you can help that knows everything. Children want to be grown so they can speak their mind. But when you get grown, you realize you really can't speak your mind. And the greatest thing is to be quick about hearing, slow to speak, slow to get angry, so you can take in information and readjust your situation, re-see your life. Humility. My grandmama used to put it to me this way, and I didn't get it. She used to say, low and humble is the way, boy. Low and humble is the way. And when I was young, and see, that Greco-Roman thing got me. Getting educated, you know. Got to get my bachelor's. I got to get, because I grew up behind five historically black colleges and universities. Moved to Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's a college town. People's value is in all them alphabets behind their name. Really? You don't get nowhere in Ann Arbor, Michigan unless you got some letters behind your name. It ain't good enough to be Michael Mitchell. No, you got to be Michael Mitchell, B-A-M-A-P-H-D-D-D. Did that and that and this. Yet Paul writes, not many that are wise according to this world. Do you get what he's saying? The hardest person to tell anything about God is these PhD doctorates of divinity and stuff that's in the seminary. Hello. I know I've been there. Them folks stressed me out so bad I had to leave. They thought I had a heart attack. See, because theology, theo, Godology, study of. See, there's a lot of people don't study God. That's not what God is interested in. God is interested in you studying to show yourself approved. But what's the end of that? To show yourself approved. What God is really interested in is having a personal relationship with you. It's sitting right there in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve sin, they go and hide. Why? Because God is walking through the garden in the breezy part of the day. Notice, he who has all knowledge asks what? A question. He could have just said, why are you naked over there hiding from me? But he didn't do that. Son, where you at? Sound like Mama Gross. I don't know if y'all get a chance to talk to Mama Gross. I just love the way Mama Gross talks. I just love her hugs. I love the way Mama talked to me. She'll ask me a question, baby. You all right? It sounds just like that breezy. She just eases right in there on you. Here I am. Why are you hiding, baby? Because I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? What have you done? Question. 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 It's taken me a long time to learn that what you probably already know after 40 years. The best way to get people to see something is ask them a question. We so busy quoting scriptures to people. We so busy telling them where they wrong at. That's not how to win friends and influence people. You will never change anybody's mind telling them they wrong. You will get further with people to ask them to explain to you why they're right. Why is the way that you're doing this better than this way? And when they explain it to you, ask them another question. And ask them another question. It's real easy to do that with kids when you're an adult because you know you're right. What you getting all upset about? One thing a kid should never be able to do is upset you because you're an adult. I had to learn that being a bus driver with a bunch of kids that wasn't my kid. I used to wonder, why am I on this bus? I've been on this bus for 7 years. They drive me nuts. Well, because for 6 years or so, I was busy trying to tell them I'm the adult. You listen to me. When the key to winning them over was learning to listen to them. It's 90-something of them and one of me. And when I realized they were cyber world people. Look, they'll sit right next to each other and text each other. They don't talk to each other. They text each other. Barb, thank you. She said it. So, I'm just giving you some of the things that I've been through to get to what I'm finna share with you today. Because God had to take me back to the beginning. And the beginning for me and the first scripture I ever learned was the 23rd Psalm. Anytime I go into a new ministry, the first thing I preach is the 23rd Psalm. It's the first scripture I'll read at a church because it was my first scripture. And today, I want to share with you some things that God is showing me in this favorite passage of scripture. Amen? For a little more background information, there's a guy, I think his name is Paul Little. Paul Little is a Canadian fella, and he wrote some really good books, and he wrote a book, is it? Or is it Tim Keller? I can forget. But the name of the book is A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. I think it's Paul Little. Am I right?
Yes.
Boy, it's good to be around folks that are well read. I need you, girl. This gray ain't fake. But Paul Little actually was in Africa and was a shepherd. And what he does is he goes through this 23rd Psalm and he explains to you. See, David was a shepherd king. The Bible shows us that we are likened to sheep. Amen? See, I'm finna make a confession. From seventh grade civics until 5 years ago, I thought Christianity was a religion. And I thought it was one of the great religions of the world. But religion don't do you no good, huh? When you're losing hundreds of thousands of dollars. 20-some years. I was married 23 and a half years, and before I got married, I had told that woman what I was going to do. I was doing exactly what I said I was going to do. I was right where I wanted to be, doing exactly what I wanted to do. And when you lose hundreds of thousands of dollars, I got news for you. Religion does you no good. And when you're a Southern Baptist getting a divorce, guess what? You have no friends. Because when you're a religious, when you're a professional Christian, and things aren't going good in your life, everybody scatters to save their career. Baby, I was all alone. Folks used to be bugging me. Mike, we need you to come preach this revival. Well, I'm scheduled that night. Well, how much they paying you? Well, they paying me $750. Mike, we'll double that. We'll pay you $1,500. We'll put you in a hotel room. We'll do this. We'll do that. We just need you here, brother. None of them guys were calling me. Hello. All them fellas that used to call me every Saturday night to help them with their Sunday school lessons and help them with their sermons, I had no friends. Not one. And it's less than a handful of them that call me now. Hello. So I had to go from being Mr. Religion. Hello. To realize I needed God. And baby, it went from a lot of knowledge and studying, it got personal then, Father Bill. Hello! Because when you go through all of those stages, that a divorce is like a death. And when you're going through all of that grieving and everything that a death in your life will take you through, see, it was trying to kill my faith. When Caleb said that today, Caleb, woo, you don't know how much that meant to me. Because I had to fight for my faith. Because what I went through, I've seen destroy a lot of my preacher friends' faith. Hello? See, that's what Satan likes to see happen. He likes for you to get up there so fast. And then, as the Africans say, the higher you climb the tree, the more the monkey exposes himself. Hello. See, and people. See, people judge themselves by their intentions. People will judge you by what they perceive are your actions. People will forgive themselves. Oh, I messed up, but I didn't mean to. I was trying to do good. But when you fall, baby, they say, see, I told you it was no good. I told you he was this. I told you he was that. I told you they weren't all of that. Hello? And ministry is a people business. And in this age of internet, baby, it's nowhere you can hide. It's every bit as real as when David messed up more than once in Israel. It's as real as the fact that here we are thousands of years after this man's been dead and gone, and we're still talking about him. Imagine you don't spend 20, 30 years getting educated and serving, and yeah, you made a mistake. Yeah, you did something wrong. One time. Hello? Maybe not even over and over and over again. You know, I remember it was a famous preacher. Some folks came to me when he was caught in adultery, and they said, "Well, Mike, what do you think about that?" I said, "Man, that thousandth and one." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "He probably walked past thousands of women." I said, "This is a good-looking joker." I'll just tell you who it was, Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson, a good-looking joker. You know how many women be after Jesse Jackson? Walked past thousands. Messed up with one. Knew he wasn't no good. Knew he was a phony. It's easier when you don't agree with his ideals to take his actions and demonize him. And baby, enemies will have a field day with your imperfections. But that's not how God is. God said, David is a man after my own heart. Moses murders a fella. God uses him to lead his people. See, just because a $20 bill got ripped up, baby, it got dirty and crumbled, it has not lost its value. When God makes you to do something on this planet, you can go all around the world wrong, but guess what? You're going to have to come home and get right. You're going to have to repent. And repent means you have to turn around and go the other way. In the Garden of Eden, God shows he wants to have a personal relationship with you. That cross right there was God making a relationship lost possible to be restored. That's what it's all about. God wants to be in an intimate, daily, personal relationship with you. God wants you to realize he loves you and he wants to be involved with every aspect of your life.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care what it is. It can be the most intimate marital relation and it ain't going right. Pray to God about it. God wants you to realize that he made you. He made this planet. And he understands it better than you ever will. God is able to see over the mountains. God is able to see over the hill. God doesn't live in the past. God doesn't live in the future. I got news for you. All of them dead and all of them that's going to be born, God sees them in the ever-present now. God is in the ever-present now. And God wants you to get in the now with him, baby. That's what God wants. God wants you to realize that you need him now. I like that song. I need you now. The Lord is my shepherd. If you look at the Hebrew really says it this way. Do you know who my shepherd is? My shepherd is the Lord. If you look at this as a sheep talking about his shepherd, it starts to make sense. And if you start to look at this psalm as a year in the life of a sheep, it's going to make even more sense to you. The Lord is my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, that's why I'm not going to want. See, when I was my shepherd, when Satan was my shepherd, I was wanting. There was lack in my life. When I'm out here doing drugs, when I'm out here drinking, when I'm caught up in trying to live this life that the world is telling me is life, I was in want. I was in emotional pain. I was in a dark place. I couldn't fulfill my potential. I was beat down so much, I just thought I was baggage. I thought I was Lord in baggage. I thought I was done. And I thought I was done. But when I got me a new shepherd, because the Lord is my shepherd, not because of me, not that I got any better. No, what happened in my life is one day I met Jesus for myself. He went from being somebody just in a book. He went from being my grandmama's Jesus. He went from being my preacher's Jesus to when I was down and out and didn't nobody want me. And it didn't matter how many alphabets I had behind my name. It didn't matter whether I was married or not. He came in the breezy part of the day into my heart. And he spoke to me and said, they may not want you, son, but I still want you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Michael, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the age. Son, I'm with you. He picked me up. Mama, he turned me around. What the song say? He placed my feet on solid ground. Baby, from that day on, I've been moving. Oh, I've learned to have a little talk with Jesus. I've learned how to tell him all about my trouble. I'm here to tell you, he'll hear your little feeble cry. And God will answer by and by. And as God answers, you'll feel a little prayer will churning. And you'll get a little fire burning. I'm here to tell you this morning that just a little talk with Jesus can make it all right. That's who my shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd. Not AT&T.
No, sir. Thank the Lord.
Amen. Crazy Jesus. AT&T might think they're doing something, but I got news for them, baby. When I go in these houses and the Lord puts it on my mind to pray for these folks, I pray for them. Hello. I've done more ministry out of that little AT&T truck than I did in the last 40 years on the pulpit. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Do you understand? How many of y'all are gardeners? It take a lot of work to have a pretty lawn. It take a lot of work to have a lush green pasture. Acres of healthy life. Huh? Antioxidant grass. It don't just happen. The shepherd has to go out before the sheep gets there. And he has to make sure there's water. He has to make sure it's been fertilized. Green pastures just don't happen. But because my shepherd loved me, because your shepherd loves you, I'm here to tell you, he's gone ahead of you in life. He's got some green pastures for you to go lie down in. Amen. Oh, and not only does he have green pastures, he has some still waters. See, if you put sheep around moving water, they get skittish. So the shepherd has to go there, and they say he pulls his pants up, he girds himself, and he goes down and he scoops out all the muck and rocks and whatever it takes to get that pool nice and still. Do you understand how much your shepherd loves you? Over 2,000 years ago, he decided that he was going to give his life on the cross. He made a decision. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, he saw you. And he made a decision to give his life that you might have life and life more abundantly. He restored my soul. I stand here before your restored soul. If there's any gift that I have received in life. It's been two wonderful things. Thank you, Lord. He gave me a beautiful bride. Just as beautiful inside as outside. When I didn't really think, I wasn't even thinking about dating. And here it was, one date, and 3 weeks later, I was married. That was the Lord. Because you don't call Loretta on the phone and ask her to marry you, but I did. Right from the sanctuary of the church, and she said yes. Hello. That was God. I tell all the time, God must really like me to give me you. But God will restore your soul. You can't restore your soul. Satan is seeking to destroy your soul. But if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, if in all your ways you acknowledge him, I stand today to tell you he will direct your path. There's no path you've gone down that he can't bring you back from. There's nothing that has happened in your life that he can't deal with. Baby, just because Satan got power and can make you miserable, I stand today to tell you that our Father has all power in heaven and earth. Only thing you got to do is avail yourself of it. And he will restore your soul. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness. And guess what? It's not for you. It's for his name's sake. You his child. I found out that even in situations where I know I'm wrong and I'm in trouble, if I call out to God. See, I'm talking some real stuff because I was finna maybe get fired. I had done something wrong. And I said, well, God, you know, everybody know I'm a preacher. And if they find out about this, it's going to really look bad. And I don't think you really need another preacher looking bad. Now, I'm confessing to you because as far as I'm concerned, only against you have I sinned. Hello, because you all I care about. Now, if you get me out of this, I'll be sure not to do this no more. Give me some favor. Please, Lord, I plead for your favor. Baby, not only did I not get fired, I didn't even get rolled up. Hello. Yeah. Do you know he's got all power? Hello. God is able to just change things. But why would he change things if you ain't asking him to change things? See, Loretta had prayed on December 29th, she said, God, I've been doing things my way. I'm kind of happy, but if you got something better for me, I'm open to it. I guess I'm the something better. I say that jokingly, but I mean it in a serious way. Because God is able to bring people in your life that will, see, we're all the five people we spend the most time with. If you want to know who you are, look at the five people you spend the most time with. If you spend your time with the Young and the Restless, General Hospital, Maury, Sally Jesse, Ellen, that's you. Huh? But if you get you some time with the Word of God, the Bible, which is some basic instructions before you leave her. Hello. You come to church and you fellowship with some people that believe in God. Huh? And when I talk about God, I'm talking about three persons. The mother, three that make out the five. I'm talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Huh? I challenge people to give God the first hour of every day. The first day of every week, and the first dime of every dollar. I dare people to do that because I know that if you do that, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be added to you. I'm a living example of that. When I walked away from my first marriage, I didn't even have $200 in my pocket. I can remember times when I would get $20 for cleaning out some gutters or something, and that was $10 for gas and $10 maybe for some food, and I didn't know where I was going to sleep that night. And we're talking 5 years ago. You see what I'm saying? See, it don't take long for this world to. I used to tell my daughter, yeah, daddy's tough, but life is cruel. Life is cruel. I'm trying to share with you that if you don't have a relationship with God, if it's all just head knowledge, if it's all just tradition and training or something that your mama wanted you to go to and do, or something that you don't got too old for the club, so now you're going to come to the house of God to just be there, it ain't doing you no good. Because when they're talking about you going into surgery, see, when they gave me less than a 5% chance of living from my open heart surgery, hello, I had a revelation. I should have known it was relationship then, Father. I should have known. See, when God is your shepherd, then you know his voice. See, and he can speak to you in a whisper. See, it was a man of God that was in trouble, and he had ran and hid, and he was down by a little brook, and they bringing him bread, and the brook come down and give him a little water. And it was a thunderstorm, but God wasn't in the thunderstorm. See, sometimes your trials and tribulations is trying to beat on you like one of them mallets that you beat meat with. Because you're so hard-headed, God is trying to tenderize you a little bit so you're sensitive. Sometimes that's why you're going through everything that you're going through, because you're not sensitive. Hello? But let a hurt happen. If the wind blow right, baby, and you've been hurt right, it hurt. If you've been hurt, you now all of a sudden you can tell when it rains. You'll need the meteorologist to tell you it's been the rain. If you've been hurt, you get sensitive to things. Am I making sense? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Baby, when you've been through enough, don't nothing scare you no more. Have you ever had a boss that threatened you and fussed at you so much that after a while you say, yeah, there you go again. You don't even pay him no mind. But the person you'll pay attention to is that good shepherd. See, when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, imagine we're going through some ravines and we know that there's cougars and lions, and we're going early in the morning and there's fog in there. And you're a sheep. You can't see your shepherd. But he's got a rod and he's got a staff and he's reaching out and he's calling your name, Linda, and he's touching you. You're all right, Linda. You're all right, Kayla. You're all right, Jennifer. He's touching you and talking to you. He's wrapping that little hook around your neck and saying, come on back to me, baby. Come on, get close to me. Rub up against my leg. Do you know that God will do that? I challenge you that if you're feeling lonely and in need of a hug, I challenge you to ask God to hug you. Hello? He'll do it. I needed a hug some night. So I got down on my knees because my grandmama told me, boy, you get down on your knees, you get a better connection. See, I had to go from that laying in bed praying during commercials. And it was easy to do that when you don't have a television. Huh? When you don't have a bed. Hello? It's easier to do. See, sometimes God got to knock you all the way down so he can get your attention. Got to take away them creature comforts, so that you can learn what real comfort is. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The table is a high place. It's a plateau. Remember we were talking about those lush valleys? God will take you through the valley to take you up to a high place. He'll anoint your head with oil. How many of y'all have put on some off? Think of it that way. Them sheep got all them little bugs messing with them. So the shepherd anoints their head, and that oil keeps the insects and gnats and everything out of the nostrils of the sheep and make them sick. Hello? God will anoint your head with oil. Your cup will run over. Oh, what joy bubbling up in my soul. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness. And more precious to me than anything in life now is mercy. Unmerited favor from God. I don't deserve the mercy that God has extended to me. I tried to tell my friend Father Carl about this mercy, what I knew about it. Ain't nobody got a hell they can put you in, and can't nobody keep you out of heaven. When God decides that he is with you, he's with you. If God is for you, he is more than the world against you. It does not matter what anybody says you are, but who God says you are. And when you come to know God, and you will come to fear him, and you will come to know what his opinion is on a matter, and when his opinion matters more than even your own opinion and the opinions of others, guess what? Life gets real good. That's the day I knew that I could come back and do what I'm doing right now. That was the day. I'll never forget when that happened to me. I had been at church, and the church I was going to Saturday night, all the men would get together at 11:30 at night, and we would lock the doors, and we would lay out in the floor, and we would pray, and we would go around, and we would lay hands on each other and pray for one another and anoint each other's heads with oil. And one night, the elder anointed me with oil, and he said, God has anointed you to preach the good news about Jesus. And I heard him speak as if it was the very oracles of God. And I realized it didn't matter what I thought about myself. I have an illusion about who I am. Other folks have a delusion about who I am. But God, baby, he knows the truth about each and every last one of us. And when God tells you something about you, baby, that's what it is. And if God has told you something, don't you let nobody else steal your joy. And this can happen. When I was in Haverhill, Massachusetts, there was a man that was born blind in one eye. And in a period of time, he lost sight in the other eye. And my pastor, Reverend Gregory Thomas, was stretching out to believe God, And we would lay hands on this fella. Everybody would come in church and lay hands on this fella and pray for him and pray for him and pray for him. At the time, I was in the Coast Guard. I was gone 9 weeks. When I came back, I was walking through the basement of the church, and he was talking to me. And he said, you don't know who I am, do you, Brother Mike? I said, I know the voice. He said, it's because I don't have glasses on. I can see. And he had got sight first in the eye that he had always been blind in. And they kept praying for him, and he got sight in his other eye. Hear me good. Because he went down to Massachusetts General and let them knuckleheads operate on him to see where that happened. Hello. Like what God did wasn't good enough. Lost sight. See, a lot of times God has done a thing in saving you, and you sit back and let everybody who you value more than God and what God has done in your life operate on you. And they'll mess up your good thing, baby. Hello? A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. They should not expect anything good from God. Hello? You got to make up your mind whose report you're going to believe. Your own, other people, or are you going to believe what God has told you about you? If you make up your mind, because I believe what God said. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look where I am now, in the house of God. Yeah, I was Baptist born. I was Baptist bred. But when I die, I just might be a CEC dead. The Lord is our shepherd. Don't get hung up on anything else. Don't get so hung up on doing. Thank you, Mama. God bless her. Get hung up on being. Be ready to be uncomfortable. Be ready to be unzipped. It ain't nothing. Look, it ain't nothing wrong with. I don't really care what you know about me. Because the more you find out what I've done wrong and whatnot, the more you ought to be able to appreciate what God has done to be able to give me these insights to stand here this morning and tell you what I told you.
Amen. Amen.
Paul says, I have learned. I've learned. That means maybe I didn't know at one time. That meant that maybe I had to go through some things sometime. Maybe I had made bad relationship decisions. Maybe I did some things I should not have done. But here's the good news. I wasn't stuck on stupid. One day, God looked past my faults. And God will look past your faults and see that you need him. And if you are willing to say, here I am, Lord. I'm willing to be yours, Lord. Everything I am, everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. I promise you, he'll take you in. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven fill my soul. It filled my soul with love. And it wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. So let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear your feeble cry. God will answer by and by, and then you'll feel a little prayer will turn in. Know a little fire's burning, because just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. God bless you.